Okay, let's begin. Today I would like to discuss with you some minhagim, customs that we do lezecher the korban. Okay, the whole year round, now it's the Ben HaMetzarim, the time of the korban. There are things that we do the entire year round that are lezecher the korban. The first thing I want to point out, okay, it's not from this sefer, from a different sefer, is there are three categories of things we do to commemorate the Beis HaMikdash. One is called Zecher LeMikdash, one is Zecher LeChorban, and the third is Zecher LeGeula. Three very different categories. First category is Zecher LeMikdash. This is probably the most common. What is the classic example of Zecher LeMikdash? Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, it depends on the bring of the Omer. Well, we don't bring the Omer. Bizman has the Pesach, we don't bring the Omer. There is no Beis HaMikdash. So, why then do we count Sfira? Zecher LeMikdash. Because since once upon a time there was a Beis HaMikdash, and we brought the Omer, and we counted, so we continue as a Zecher for what once was. Okay, that's called Zecher. Now, another example. Taking what? Lulav. Exactly. I was about to say Lulav. What are Lulav? You only, how many days are you supposed to take the Lulav when Mizman Shabbos Hamikdash Yekayim? Only one day. Where do you take the Lulav all 7 days? In the Beis Hamikdash. The Mikdash was there, there's a Shaila. Do you take in Yerushalayim? There's Machlokes taking Yerushalayim. That's why some hold that it's Kedai to go every single day on Sugis to the Kosel. Because if you go to the Kosel, you're going to the Makam of Yerushalayim, and according to some opinions, it's a mitzvah deraisa of Netilas Lulav in that vicinity. Bizman Hazeh, we take it all 7 days. Even out, even chutz the arts. Why? Zecher LeMikdash. Since in the Beis HaMikdash they took it for 7 days, and we don't have Bizman Hazeh, we want to remind ourselves. So we all take it, chutz the arts, we take it in 7 days. Okay, what are other examples? I can. What? Oh! Korech, Bizman Shoy Beis HaMikdash, Kacho Yehillel, Hillel, Korech Matsu, Mor, Boichlam Biyachel, Kai Mash Nemar, Al Matsois, Umurim Yochlu. Any other examples? I don't remember. Arava was minig in Chanai. I guess L'chayra Arava. Well, Nisachim we don't do all together. We don't do all together, but Arava we do. Arava was takonas nevi'im. But is that totally in the mikdash? Is that totally in the mikdash? They put the Arava on the wall of the mizbeach, and we do it also. Could be only in the mikdash. In Chanai. Okay. So these are categories. Okay, we gave a few examples. The lulav. What about even shayfer? Even blowing shofar, also I think it's Zecher LeMikdash. And shofar, where do you blow shofar? Well, let's say you're blowing shofar Mitzvah Shabbos, a Mitzvah Yom Kippur, Zefer for Yovel. So it's also Zecher LeMikdash. Because Bizman Shem Mikdash Yekayim, every Yovel, they would blow shofar on Yom Kippur. So we also, Zecher LeMikdash, we blow shofar every Mitzvah Yom Kippur as Zecher, what would be on that particular year when there was a Yovel. Okay, so there's a long list. We gave a couple of examples. Shofar, at least Mitzvah, I think even Shofar regular Shofar, there is some din of Zecher LeMikdash. Okay, Lulav, and what do we say? And Sfiras HaOmer, Korech, these are examples of Zecher LeMikdash. Then there's something called Zecher LeChorban. Okay, let's give one or two examples. By wedding, you break a glass. Probably the one that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that's the most that we'll discuss in a little more detail in a few moments, is putting an amal amal kineged ha-pesach. When a person builds a new house, you're supposed to leave over an area that's one amal by one amal, which is either approximately 18 inches by 18 inches or 24 by 24 inches. Opposite, when you walk into the door, opposite the Pesach Habayis, that is unfinished, that is not really finished. Zecher LeChorban. Breaking the glass under the chuppah, or putting ash, afer miklat, on the roish of the chasen, which we'll talk about in a little more detail in a few moments. That is called Zecher LeChorban. What is the difference between Zecher LeChorban and Zecher LeMikdash? Zecher LeChorban is all meant in order to bring out tsar, in order to remember the fact that the Mikdash was destroyed, was Chorav, and we should have to. Another example is that we don't, a lot of these things that we do in Zecher LeChorban, we don't do Bizman Hazeh. It used to be a custom, I don't know, used to, but when a woman would get dressed up, so there was a certain number of standard ornaments that she would wear. Okay, whatever, the Gemara talks of 24, Kalim would wear 24 ornaments, whatever it is. 24. That's right. But no one today, the Kala wears 24 ornaments. But after, but let's talk about in modern times. I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, not that long ago, there was a certain standard number of ornaments that a woman would wear when they would go to an event. Zecher l'chorban, she's supposed to not put on every single one. One of the standard, whatever is the standard, one of these things should be missing. It used to be a certain custom that's brought down a lot of from that by weddings or by smachos, there would be a certain standard types of food that would be presented on the table. You'd have a tray. It's a standard. I go to a caterer today, you're going to have the kugel, the cholent, the fish. There's a certain standard, whatever it is, there's a standard. This is an addition. Right? There's a standard. On the tray, zeicha l'chorban, it's supposed to be noticeable that one of the things is missing. They had a tray, five different types of food. You pick. You can choose. One of the five things that was a standard must be missing. Zecher l'chorban. Okay, those are two examples, yeah.
The music that called Yerushalayim, Rechasme.
Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah,
Yerushalayim. We spoke about this last week.
Right.
We spoke about this last week. It was the Zecher l'chorban. That was the discussion. According to what we learned, according to what we learned, that the primary was not l'chorban, was really because of pritzos.
Right.
Priests would lead to mingling between the boys and the girls, so not everyone was so. They were in addition to the priests, it was also zecher l'chorban.
Right.
Shiloh, what's the ikar? What's the tofa? That was the Shiloh. Okay, but nechanami zecher l'chorban. Yeah. Yes, that's zecher l'chorban. Yes, that's zecher l'chorban.
Zecher.
What? That's what we mentioned. You're supposed to leave over an amal amban and kneged pesach. That's not finished. So these are things that are zecher l'chorban. Is the purpose of zecher l'chorban is in order to arouse a person to a state of tsar, of pain. What has been lost from us. And whereas Zecher L'Mikdash was never designed, never, to cause a person pain. The purpose is to yearn for the coming of Mashiach. You say Svira, Harachaman, Hu Yachzer Lanu, Avodas Beis Hamikdash B'Mehera Meinu Amen Tzela. It's a Zecher what took place, and it's a preparation, so when the Mikdash will come, we'll know what to do. We should not forget. But it was never ever meant to cause the person to have Tzad. That's a very important fundamental difference between these two. Then it's very rare. Okay, I only have one example. Now I don't even know the example. I've got the details. The example, something called Zecher L'Geula. The common example, maybe could be the only example, there must be other examples. On Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, no one does it today, women had, I think it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, in the Mechaber, women had the custom to wash parts of their, but not their entire body, if not mistaken, to clean the house. I don't remember the details, they both to wash, to clean, on Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos. Because we have a tradition that on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach is born. So Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, is the Zman of the Aschalta de Geula, and as a Zecher, to remind us that the Geula is coming, a Zecher le Geula, you do something to show the Geula is coming. And the men would not do anything because of the Chomer of Tisha B'Av, but women, because the Chazal wanted to go lighter on women, the Bedavka would do things now at this moment to show, the Geula is on the way. They would wash their hands, or they would wash. Again, women, today women don't do this. Today this custom has been forgotten from us.
Yeah, I remember the bungalow, I asked my father because I saw some women went to do laundry in the afternoon.
The afternoon, right.
Father explained to me that maybe was the reason that they...
I think it's in the Ramah. The Ramah brings it down. I don't remember the details. But there is such a thing that Zecher L'Geula. Inspiration for them. So it's important to always keep track. Whenever you have such a concept where you're doing something based on Mikdash, you got to fit it into one of the three categories. Zecher l'Churban, Zecher l'Mikdash, or a Zecher l'Geul. Okay, now let's go to some other ideas. Now, the halacha, one of the very severe halachas, the very serious halacha, is leaving over an amal ama in the bais. This is a very serious halacha. Now, first of all, what about in the Beis HaKnesses? Are you mechuyev to leave over in the Beis HaKnesses? Very far, most sportic and serious, they do construction, they don't find them leaving over. So many places can say that this halacha does not apply to a Beis HaKnesses, only applies to a private home. A Beis HaKnesses, there is no requirement according to Shulchan Aruch to leave over an area connected to Pesach, that is one amma by one amma. You walk into the most shuls, you walk into the shul, you don't see an amma by an amma zeichel l'chorban. Another very big halachic issue is, let's say Rav Moshe talks about this, let's say you don't want to leave over an alama lama, I'm going to finish off the whole building, but I'll put up picture of the Kaisel Hamaravi, or I will paint it a different color. It won't perfectly blend, but I don't want to go to the extreme of leaving the sheetrock, the plaster, and having it not painted. I'm going to finish off. We'll paint it black. It appears that this is very common. There are many talks about this. A lot of the places, the Shas Rishon talk about this. I'm going to leave over a section. We'll paint it black, and in that black area, we're going to write the words Kaisel Hamaravi. Well, for some reason, they wrote Chizkiyahu Hamelech. That was very popular because he was the king. That was the last. That was the Churban. He was there, lived during the Churban. The Bais Rishon Chizkiyahu Hamelech. They wrote his name. Is that a fulfillment of the halacha of Zeichel Churban? So they're very big machlokes. Some soul, no. The only way you make when it's Shulchan Aruch is you bedavka have to leave part of the building not finished. And the Mishnah Berurah talks, and the Mishnah Berurah says that the Gemara mentions tit v'sid. The Mishnah Berurah says that b'zman hazeh the plaster is called the tit and the paint is called the sid. So it's sufficient, he says, if you just don't paint. You don't have to actually leave out the sid. In other words, if someone does construction and they plaster, but just don't paint. Not painting is a fulfillment. Not painting an area that's an 18 inch by 18 inches, connected to Pesach, is sufficient to be called. It's going to be called Zeichel Churban. There's a very, I'll say, this very con today, a lot of Jewish contractors, and they build houses. Right, they build Lakewood, they build developments right and left, or you go to Cedarhurst. So there are a lot of Jewish contractors that build these developments. Are they mechuyev in the contract? Are they mechuyev? Says Shulchan Aruch to leave over an area connected to Pesach that is not finished. Sometimes leaving it over is more complicated than. It's more kind of have to tell the workers, make sure this area you don't plaster, you just put the sheetrock and don't. So the answer is not. It's not the contractor's problem. The only one that has the chiyuv is the homeowner. So there's a kunz. So since the one that built it is the contractor, and he has no obligation to do it, and when the homeowner gets the property, it already was done. Already was finished. You don't have to do anything. You're only, the halachiyav is only when you yourself are building it to leave it over. So this is a legal loophole, which many people take advantage of. Because it's not so common, we all know, for some reason, not so common to go into someone's house and to see, connected to Pesach, it's not finished. The most we'll see, most homes is, connected to Pesach, we'll put up a little picture a nice piece of art, Kaisel Hamaravi. They put up the Kaisel Hamaravi. What? Yeah.
It's interesting. Right in the front of the shul by Ona Kodesh,
yeah,
they've got the Ona Kodesh in the middle, and then two sides of the wall. The wall on the right, on the left hand side, is a whole picture of the Kotel from.
So that minig appears to come from this that there is, you want to do something with Zeicha the Korban. Ideally, you should leave over a section of the building. In a shul, it's not nice. People don't like it. It's unsettling. And the bias also, not everyone is up to this nimachmir make to do this.
Can yet.
In Israel, it's more common. Today, it's becoming more common also. Today, people in B'nai Torah, they're much more sensitive to halacha. But this is, these are two issues. You only mechuyev al pi hadin if you yourself are building the house, your own private house. If you're building someone else's house, doesn't apply to you. And then if you purchase a house, well, already everything is already finished. Are you mechuyev now to cut it out? To go take out a chisel and cut out a section of the wall and pull out the sheetrock and make it unfinished? That you're not mechuyev to do. Some do it, you should know. Some people will actually go through the effort. So some will go midway, and instead of going and taking out, they'll put up a nice little piece of art. They'll go online, they'll go buy something in the store that says in the Kaisel Maravi, oh, Kaisel, you go to many people in their homes. You don't see it so much more today. Years ago, you see in these old houses, you go into their house, you see on the wall, Kaisel Maravi. They have a little picture of Kaisel Maravi, because this is all based upon this custom of leaving over a little section of the wall. Okay, now another interesting topic is this idea of putting ash on the head of a chassan. Now, where does it come? Now, let me just say something. By wedding, there are three things that are done by a wedding that are lezeicha l'chorban. What are the three things? You break a glass. Okay, by the tanaim also. Let's put the tanaim also. But the bringing of the plate by the tanaim is not really part of the wedding. You're supposed to break the plate by the tanaim, which is supposed to have taken place at the engagement. Okay, so we do it together because we're afraid of a broken engagement. So we do that, but that's not really part of the wedding. Part of the three things that are done at the wedding itself, number one is the bracha. Sois tosis v'sogel ho'akara b'kibbutz banecha l'secha b'simcha. That bracha is the bracha that focuses on the Churban Yerushalayim. Under the chuppah, you're giving a person a very chasha bracha, sois tosis, a very powerful bracha. You divide which bracha you're giving a person to remember the Churban Yerushalayim. That's a heavy duty bracha. A bracha to remember the Churban. What else do we do? Everyone knows you break the glass. Okay, well today they break light bulbs, so every wedding is different. They break, they're afraid. Unfortunately, it's not so uncommon for the chassan to break his foot on the glass. You gotta be very careful. You have to have the right glass.
That's right, it's on the heel.
I got to be very careful there. Unfortunately, there are many stories where the chassan hurt himself.
Guy broke his ankle.
Broke his ankle, he hurt his foot. You have to have, has to be wrapped, the glass. It's not so simple. Make sure that it's done correctly. Okay, that's number two. What else is done? This, not everyone sees, but they put ash, afer mikle, on the head of the chassan, loses efer tachas peer, to put ash in the place of the tefillin, a zecher for them. Three things are done. Now, I saw this idea in a few places. I can't tell you all the sources, but the reason why we do three things is based upon the pasuk in Al Nairo Spavel. Okay, it's a mizmor, tell me, we said this before benching. Let me read you the pasuk, let me show you how it's hidden. There are different. It's hidden too in the pasuk. Okay, the pasuk says as follows: Imesh gachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini tidbak l'shoni l'chiki im. Okay, I don't have a whole. Where's the whole pasuk? I don't have a whole pasuk here. I'm not good with memorizing sukkim. What's the new minute? It's a new minute. It's not so new already. It's already been going on for quite a long time. Okay, the whole number of the entire pasuk. Imeshkechay, the whole pasuk. Where is it? All the twelve. Okay. Okay, the pasuk is Imeshkechay Yerushalayim. If I forget Yerushalayim, the person is cursing himself. It's a scary pasuk to say. It's a curse. If I forget Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, I should forget my right hand. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki, I curse myself. Let my tongue, let it cleave to my palate. I should be a mute. Im loy es kirechi, if I don't remember you, Yerushalayim. And the third expression is im loy ale es Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. There are three parts to this pasuk. The three parts allude to the three things that we do at a wedding to remember Yerushalayim. One thing we do is we make a bracha. A bracha is b'peh. Comes out of your mouth. The second remembrance is you put ash on the head of the chassan. The head of the chassan is the mind. The chassan actually doesn't do it. The chassan is not supposed to. Someone is supposed to do it. The chassan sits there and the ash is put on his mind. The place of the tefillin is the machshava, the moyach. Shahneshama shebemoichi. Machshava, the mind. And the third thing is you break it with your foot. It's a maisa. Those three things are alluded to in this pasuk. The pasuk says, begins, Im eshkacheich Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, may my right hand be forgotten. Now it's not perfect. It's not perfect because you're not using your foot. You're not using your right hand. But at least it's a maisa. You're doing an action. My right hand represents my a pa'ul, an action. That's the first thing. The second thing is tidbak lishani, my tongue. That corresponds to the bracha of Sois Tosis V'Sagel Ho'akara, Im Lo Yeskerechi. And the third thing is, Im Loi Ale Es Yerushalayim Al Roshim Chosi, I should remember Im Loi Ale, I don't elevate, which means I remember, I think about Yerushalayim, represents the concept of Machshava. Now that's one approach. Some say the approach is the other way around. Same idea, same exact idea, but the three concepts are alluded to. The first part is forgetting, not in eshkochech, it's to forget. Forget is the mind. Okay, tishkach yemini, tidbak l'shoini. By l'shoini means my tongue. That's the bracha. Sois os soil hakara. In loyale is the eif emikla. Same idea. The ash which goes upon the person on the mind of the chassan. So this triple, the chut hamishulish, not to forget Yerushalayim, really is alluded to in this pasuk, which has three clauses, mentions three different ideas. Now, this concept, this is a very fascinating thing. This minhag, putting ash on the head of the chassan, is not so simple. I think it's common, everyone does this, but if it's here in the sefer here, the minhag of Seinu B'Yodeinu, it's a very chashuv sefer. So this is the third volume, Shoines, on all different general topics. He goes to all the sources and he takes note that in some communities this is not the custom. Instead, they would drape the chasen kala in a black shmata under the chuppah or before the chuppah, and they would say the pasuk, no ash. They would drape them in a black shmata, and they would say the pasuk. They would say the pasuk in Eshkech Yerushalayim. Other communities, they would spread upon them a white shmata. No, so the talis is something different. The talis is besides the talis. The talis we discuss ayin hara. The talis is a chuppah. It's a chuppah, shachianu. Now, this is besides the talis. Before they put on the talis, they would momentarily drape them in a white garment, tachrichen, shrouds, in order to remind them of the to be mitzvah on the Churban Yerushalayim. Or some did a black. Then there was a custom where they would dress them in a wreath of alei hadasim. Why? Because hadasim are bitter. Olives are bitter. Olive leaves are bitter. And to remember the bitterness, like maror, the bitterness of galus, of the korban, they would use alehanas. So here he says something that is truly amazing. The question, why did these communities, why was it their custom that they would bedafka not use ash, and instead they would use a wreath of alehadasim, or a black garment, or a white garment? So he says something that is shocking, and he has a lot of stories for this. It's because, why do you put ash? Why do you put ash on the chasan? Because the pasuk, litain efer tachas per, it's a pasuk. You put ash in the place of glory. Tefillin is Perucha Chavushalecha. Hashem said to Yechezkel that I want you to be in a state of mourning, and normally a mourner is not allowed to wear a tefillin. Onin, the first day of Avelos, he doesn't wear a tefillin, but you're going to be the exception, you're going to be something unusual. From there we learn that an Onin does not wear a tefillin. So here we're going to, by taking off the tefillin and putting ash, that is the ultimate sign of mourning. Because a mourner, on the first day of Avelos, does not wear the pe'er. There were many tkufas in the history of Jewish people where the hamoin am did not wear tefillin. This is a fact. That the majority of the Jewish population were not rogil in wearing tefillin. Today, it's unheard of. You wear tefillin every single day. What?
Not fit. So when was it instituted? Talks about that he was running around trying to convince everybody.
No one was wearing tefillin. The Smag also says they didn't wear tefillin.
Now, until when?
Until recent times. I don't know what's called recent. Until 400 years ago. Until maybe, I don't know what we'll deal with. Different locations, different geographical regions, different tkufas. They were not nizrin wearing tefillin. Someone illegitimized the custom that there is no chiv to wear tefillin ever since. Today we're brought up that how you wouldn't dare let a day go by without wearing tefillin. Yohorek val yavar. It's like, it means you totally, well, besides that, that's the way we're brought up, and you wear a tefillin every single day. It's yohorek val yavar to miss their tefillin. But the truth is, who says that's correct in halacha? It says in the Torah, v'shamarta esachuko hazos lemoada miyamim yamima. What does it mean miyamim yamima? Does it mean daily? Samein miyamim means occasionally. On an event. today is a good day. Today is a, my wedding. Oh, so you know what I was saying? Bar mitzvah, we wear tefillin. A wedding on a special occasion. Aseres yimei tshuva, you wear tefillin. To wear tefillin, you have to be a bal madrega. You have to be a tzaddik, a rav, a choshev. An average guy, it's not for me. I'm not a spook. I'm not right to wear a davishah b'kedusha on my head. So the hamoin am. So you bring there are many tkufas they did not wear tefillin, whether it was legitimized in halacha or whether no, it's not a halacha. You must wear tefillin. Just that's unfortunately people were not nizar. The Nela, they bedafka did not put ash on the head because amazing what he says. He quotes sources for this. Law says ezer tachas pe'er. If you don't wear the pe'er, so why are you putting on the efer? The significance of putting on the efer is only a zeicha l'churban Yerushalayim if you're a person that wears pe'er. If you're not a person that wears pe'er, it has no meaning to put ash on the mekayim hatzfilin. So the bedavka did not put ash on the place of the tefillin. They put ash. They did something else. They wore a wreath of hadassim. It's bitter hadassim to remind you of the bitterness of the gula. Then he says some shocking things. He says that first of all, this cause of putting ash today, it's only done by the chassan. It's only done the chassan, not the chassan too. The rav puts on. He brings sources. He brings really early. He's even the medrash to Hillam. He needs a medrash to Hillam where the chassan was to put the ash on the head of the kala as well. I have not heard all this talk. No, recently, a couple of months ago, unfortunately, there are people that are being pirates, the Gedarim of Yisrael, and suggesting that women should wear tefillin. This would be a very good source. This would have been, but no, I have not heard in all of the articles anyone quote this. Don't tell them. Don't make trouble. But it says that it was also the Pharisees, and they put ash on the head of the chassan and the kala. So it seems that according to this medrash, the ash is not related to tefillin. Okay, that's still a statement because women don't wear tefillin. It's ash is something which is a symbol of avelus. So you put it on the chassan and the kala, nothing due to it. The biggest shock of them all, he brings a source. Maybe I can find it here. This is really, really shocking that they only put the ash on the kala, not on the chassan. But do you believe that? Only the kala. Okay, that's what he says. Then another interesting question. He quotes Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yoshua Rav Soloveitchik. When do you put the ash on the chassan? Today you go to any wedding, they put it before the chuppah. Before the chuppah. In the and before they march down in the private room and they get ready, they brush the chassan, they put the ash, they do all these hocus pocus things. So he says that some disagree as source, and he says the only one that followed the sources that he quotes was Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik. When he was in Masada Kedushin, he was makbid, he's at least sometimes to put the ash on top of the chassan under the chuppah after they make the birchas chassanim. Means after, it seems after the Sheva Brachas. That's what I'm reading correctly. Or before the Sheva Brachas, after the Brachas Ersin. At some point, under the Chuppah, after the Brachas were done, before they break the glass, he would take ash, and he would take off the Yarmulke, and he would put ash on the Chassan. Because the Nahil Yinako, it says, Yinako the Chassan. Everything that's done up until leading into the wedding, until the moment when they make the bracha and harayat, you're not yet a chassan. You're not, so therefore, you want to be makayim the minig where the way it's supposed to be done, lost says efer tachas, lost efer tachas pe'er. Makayim imesh, yosham tishach yimini, you want to be makayim, it has to be done b'shas maisa. Just like the glass is broken b'shas maisa, just like the bracha says tassis is done b'shas maisa, the ash must be put b'shas maisa. So this taka is not done. However, what is done today in some places, this is not so uncommon, is when do they break the glass? A lot of the part of the it's very, very bizarre. They come to the end of the wedding, they break the glass, and the glass is supposed to remind you of the Churban Yerushalayim, according to some opinions, and everyone breaks out, Mazel Tov. That's not what it's about. When you say it, in fact, some of the earlier sources were, they would break the glass, and they would say the Pasuk.
Right.
They would break the glass, and they would say, well, they would respond. The Chosim would say part of the Pasuk, and they would respond. And then the people would respond, they would say, Tidbak Lashon L'chiki, and they would say together, they would say in response back and forth, these Pasuk. Elokim. So it's a little bit bizarre that you break the glass, and the whole purpose of breaking the glass is Mazel Tov. So in see, it's not so uncommon where, I think in Eretz Yisrael it's more common, where you Harayat Mikudeshes, and right after Harayat Mikudeshes, then they break the glass. Before they read the Ksuba, photographer, right?
I've seen
what?
Yes. I've seen.
You got messed up?
Sure.
You weren't ready for this?
Of course not.
Yes.
You weren't ready for this, right? You've seen that. Anything.
This year, I
was. Newspaper.
Cigarette even?
Yeah, my brother, by my brother's wedding, I prepared the ash. I took. You know, in the olden days, before the digital cameras, one of the best things they used to before the digital cameras was the 35 millimeter film, the cases, those black cases. You do all of the uses you could have for those black little cases. So now it's no longer those black.
Yeah.
So my brother, the day of my brother's wedding, I went to the front of the house. I took a New York Times, and I burned it, collected the ash, and I had that in a black little case. And we came to the wedding. We were in that room, and my brother's Rosh Yeshiva said, "Does anyone have ash? Where's the ash?" And I took it out of my pocket. And he was so impressed because he saw. Used to going to weddings where they don't have the ash. I think he has his own ash. He probably carries in his pocket his own little case of ash. But they do, right? They do. They take cigarettes. People don't improvise, but they don't. But this is something very interesting when you do these three things. These three things are a zecher l'churban based upon the pasuk, three parts of the pasuk. When we do it, the common minig is you do the ash for the chasan before you march down the chuppah, and you break the glass at the very end. Everyone breaks out with mazel tov. Today, at least, no, they've enhanced it because today they sing. Years ago, I mean, I was very little. They never sang. That was unheard of. They made the sheva brachos. Mazel tov. Today, it's very common by all stripes, right? What? No. Chassidim don't sing. They don't do by Chassidim.
No.
By the Litvaks. Yeah. By all the Litvaks.
It was only a minig rishonim, the Rosh man.
Yeah. To sing. No, it's only the singing. But today, by the yeshiva world. What? Before they break it. But at least they're singing. At least they're connecting the breaking of the glass. Years ago, there was nothing. Years ago, they broke a master. Now there's a whole drawn-out process. It takes a good 5 minutes. So it's definitely more elaborate. Okay, but we should be aware, not everyone does it like that. Some do it before, and some put the ash in the chasen afterwards. Okay, with that we will. Oh, one last custom. This is one last thing. Some have the custom, I never saw this. Some have the custom that they bring earth. Anyone ever see this? They bring earth from Eretz Yisrael. You seen that? And they give it, they put the earth and Eretz in the pocket. In the pocket of the chasan and kala.
Also on the...
And the chasan, not on their face. No, not on their face. They put it in the pockets. And the chasan says, and they respond. The chas, they give the chasan under the chuppah, they give him earth from Eretz Yisrael, and he puts it in his pocket. And he says, it's part of the ceremony. Kiratsu avodecha, your servants have cherished es avonecha v'esafora yichonanu, and then everyone standing around respond. They respond in eshkechech yirushalayim tishkach yimini v'chul v'chul v'goyim v'goyim. It's there's a ceremony. We've never seen this. I've never seen this at least.
No.
But this is something which was once upon a time done. Okay, we'll stop here. One of the